Good morning, all you brave souls that aren't scared of the water. Well done. A little bit wet, a little bit dark out there. Looks like it's about midnight outside there. It looks pretty dark. But the light of the Lord is here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord to worship Him. Praise God. I want to talk this morning, continuing on with our theme, Heaven Invades, and I want to talk a little bit about prayer this morning. There's a story in a Sunday school class where the teacher was saying to the children, how many of you pray for your meals before you eat your food? How many of you pray? And you can put your hands up if you want to. All the kids put their hands up except for one kid in the Sunday school class. And so the teacher said, little Frankie, why don't you pray before your meals? And he said, oh, no, we don't have to in our house. My mum's a really good cook, so it's okay. But many reasons why people don't pray. But let's pray and before we get into the Word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your Word. Father, we just pray that you just speak to us, speak to our hearts this day. Lord, draw us closer to you. Lord, grow us this day, Father. Lord, give us revelation more of who you are, Lord, in your way. And bless each one, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, just help me with these words today, Lord, that you may be glorified in everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I do want to talk about prayer. And I want to start off with the Lord's Prayer. We've heard many sermons on the Lord's Prayer, and I'm not going to talk about adoration or intercession or spiritual warfare or petition or all those things that are part of the Lord's Prayer. I want to look at one particular phrase, one particular part of that. But we'll just read that. It's in Matthew 6, 9 to 13. It'll come up on the screen. There's a little bookmark which you would have got when you came in. If you didn't get one, you can get one of those on the way out. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And some of the later manuscripts say, for thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. But I really want to look at this particular phrase where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to talk about that because we're talking about heaven invading. We're about talking about the presence, the person, the power of heaven coming down and touching our lives and circumstances. That's what we're on about, looking about heaven invades. And so this phrase which says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to say at the beginning that that's when Jesus is actually giving this prayer. Remember, he was teaching the disciples how to pray. People call this the Lord's Prayer. It probably really is our prayer or disciples' prayer. Maybe John 17 is probably more accurately, you could probably call that the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is telling his disciples how to pray. He goes, earlier on he's spoken to them about that when you pray, don't make a big show of it and don't think because you pray a half an hour prayer that your prayer is any more effective or whatever. It's God looks at the heart and he goes on and he teaches them how to pray. Straight away acknowledging who the Lord is, and certainly that's our heart. We want to honour and lift up our Father in heaven. But then right into it he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that word, the sense of that, it's what they call an active imperative. It's like a command. This is not a request. It's not asking, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's actually a declaration. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a declaration. It's a statement of power and authority when the Lord is saying that. And remember, he's teaching us how to pray. He's teaching us to declare, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And to do that with power and authority when we pray. And that's what I really want to talk about today, that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is it like in heaven? As it is in heaven, we want it on earth. What's it like in heaven? He tells us that it's the place where his will is done. It's where everything, every purpose of his, it comes to fruition, and that we will bring the things of heaven down here into earth, that we're going to cancel out every work of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ, that we pray with authority. And remember, whenever we are praying as ones that are filled with the Spirit of God, that we have Christ dwelling within us. We always pray from a position of strength, not from a position of weakness. You're not down in the valley when you pray. You may feel emotionally you are. You may feel pressure from your circumstances. You may feel just things pressing, but you're never really praying from the valley. You always pray from the mountaintop. You're always praying in a position of strength and authority whenever we pray, because we are filled with the Spirit of God. We have Christ living within us, and so we're able to pray in such a way. I want to talk about really connecting, the connecting point between heaven and coming down into our circumstances, into the things of life. We all face many challenges in life, every one of us. We face struggles at times. We face challenges and difficulties and things that are there, and how we really want to see heaven come down into that situation. We know that the Lord's already come down into this earth, that he came, and we've already celebrated that in communion. We already know that in Pentecost the Holy Spirit was poured upon us. We know that we have Christ living within us. But to bring heaven down into our circumstances, into the things that are happening to us or around us, which we may have had a part in, it may be our failure, it may be our mistake, it may even be our sin that's caused a problem, or it may be that we're simply other people's things that they're doing or said or haven't done, and we're a victim in that, that we're suffering from that, where we've had these things. But we want to see heaven come down into those circumstances of life and begin to change things, to bring change in the circumstances of life. And there are times when we look at things and we can feel so powerless in situations. And I think we've all gone through circumstances where we've felt powerless in that. I want to talk about how we can actually stand with a sense of power, not hopelessness or helplessness, because we are never helpless and we are never hopeless as the men and women and children of the living God. We stand in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to look at how we actually bridge this between heaven into earth, bringing heaven into the circumstances, the reality of when the rubber hits the road of my day-to-day struggle, the things that I'm going through, the things that are happening maybe to me or around me or have even happened in the past, but I want to bring heaven. I want to bring the presence. I want to bring the person of the Lord. I want to bring his power into those circumstances about doing that. And I want to talk about the important thing, the connecting point which brings heaven into our circumstances is prayer. And prayer, it amazes me. Something so powerful and so amazing is the most neglected thing in Christian lives. That the reality of prayer and the power of prayer. And there's the little prayer that maybe, oh, yeah, little two-minute prayer, thank you, Lord, for this day, and that's wonderful. I'm talking far more than that. I'm talking about impassioned prayer that is full of power, effective prayer that James talked about, prayer that is effective and powerful, that brings change and sees things change. Remember, ultimately, it's out of our own relationship with God. Prayer is certainly our intimacy with him. It's our relationship. But as well as flowing out of that is incredible power that we unlock in prayer. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't pray. And one of the reasons why they don't pray is because, well, look, I've prayed before and I didn't see it happen. But they miss something. They miss something in connecting a heaven coming down into earth in the circumstances. And we want to look at how we bridge that. And really the key in terms of making our prayer effectively, again, this is very simple stuff that I'm telling you. Trouble is many people want to hear some of the deeper stuff, but the simple things they never do. They never do the things that really are spiritually obvious because of what the Lord says and what his word says. And prayer is something that is simple and very fundamental, but so incredibly powerful. It sees heaven come down to earth in the situation. And a key ingredient in our prayer is faith. We know what the scripture says. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God." Not difficult, not improbable, but it is impossible to please God. And so we certainly come to faith. When you become a believer, when you give your heart to Christ, you come to faith. And it's a little step of faith that you make and you receive Christ. And that's that saving faith. But there's a dimension, an element of faith that we need to go in, which is far beyond than just the fact, praise God, I'm saved. But knowing that I'm a conqueror, knowing that I have power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so just remember that right from the beginning. Fundamentally, without faith, we cannot please God in any way. And the really important part, a key of our prayer, certainly is our faith. Matthew 21:22, it says, "You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it." You can pray for anything, and if you have faith. Now, I'm not talking about self-centered, selfish prayers where, Lord, give me $1 million because I want to buy a new whatever. No, no, I'm talking about things of substance, things of life, real important things in our lives. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. And so the thing that really bridges, if we've got the power of heaven, the things of heaven up here, the power of God up here, and here I am in my circumstances, the thing that actually will connect those things together, that brings the power of heaven down into my situation, is faith. It's having faith. That is the connecting point. That is the ignition point, if you like. That's the point where the lead plugs together, when you put the two together and then the power begins to flow. The thing that connects there is faith. Now, the thing is that when we talk about faith, we all feel, and we're all under this misconception, but most of us, can't say we all, let's say most of us feel that we don't have enough faith. Most of us feel, look, you're right, you know, it's faith, but faith, it seems like if heaven is heaven, the power of heaven is here and earth is here, you can put up the next slide, if there's this gap in between heaven and earth, then we feel that we're never going to actually be able to bridge that gap. We feel that they're very far away, because when we pray, praying is really important that we pray. Praying is really important, but a prayer without faith is an ineffective prayer. And it says in James chapter 5, verse 15, where James, he says that about a sick person, he says, the prayer offered up in faith will make the sick person well. Prayer and faith, it's got to be prayer in faith. If you have prayer and there is no faith, then little or no effect. Or if you have a lot of faith, oh yeah, I'm full of faith, but you never actually exercise that. You never actually put that into practice, and you don't really pray other than, Lord, thank you that I have a nice warm blanket and it's raining and I'm all snuggled in bed this morning. Far beyond the little prayers, you know, we can thank God and it's important to give thanksgiving, but praying for things of substance, of life, of change, bringing change in things, that we need both prayer and faith working together. It's a prayer offered in faith. It said, as we read in Matthew 21, you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, it will be done. It's got to be a prayer in faith to bridge these two things together. Now, the problem, as I said, for most of us is that we feel that we don't have enough faith. Because when we face something, we feel as well, we know God is all-powerful. Look, if you've given your life to Christ, you know who God is. You know he is the creator of heaven and earth. At his very word, the earth came into existence. We know that he has all power and authority. He is the almighty God, the great I am, the one who was and is to come. He is the one who reigns in majesty and splendor, and all power and authority are there in the name of Jesus Christ. We know he's above everything, above all things. We know the power of heaven is there. And we know that. And then we look down in our circumstances and we know that sometimes we're in a situation where there is a lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties, a lot of struggle, a lot of stresses, a lot of things. And connecting them together is prayer in faith. But the problem with faith is we think that to get the power of heaven, to get the answer to prayer, is like there's this huge gap of faith that I need, and when I'm here in my circumstance and my struggle, I feel that I just don't have enough faith to throw at that, to try to bridge that gap, to reach out, and I feel that, look, I've got this much faith, but it only goes so far, and my prayer, then I feel I just can't do it. I don't have enough faith. And we have a mindset that we need to have this huge amount of faith that we can bridge this gap, that the power of heaven will come down into our circumstance. And it's because of that that many people don't pray. That they know God is powerful. They know he is awesome, that he is mighty. But to have the faith to bridge that gap, to see the power of heaven, to come in there feeling, look, I know all that's true. I know that's true. I know what you're saying is true. But at the end of the day, I just feel I don't have enough faith. And many of us get caught in that. And because that we feel, we know who God is, but we feel that I don't have enough faith, I'm not going to be able to bridge that gap, that the power of heaven will come into my circumstance. And hence, because of that, we don't have people praying. And as I said, the little prayers, thank you, Lord, for my snuggy blanket and my little pillow and those kind of things. But prayers of power that actually change the course of circumstances, change destinies, change lives, bring change. Many of us feel that we don't have enough faith to do that. And so we don't pray. We don't pray in that dimension of power where Jesus is teaching him to pray. He says, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And as I said, it's like a command. It is a declaration, a powerful declaration. It's not an insipid little prayer. Lord, please, please, please. It's a powerful declaration. And bridging that is to see the power of heaven come in and change dramatically the situation. But we need to realign our thinking. We need to change the way that we think. Thinking that there's this big, huge gulf of faith, this massive faith gap that I cannot leap and I cannot get there. Because Jesus got frustrated with the disciples. He got frustrated with them when they went out and they're trying to deliver someone and they can't do it. Amen. And that's a heavenly amen. You like that when you're preaching. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And he said to them, you of little faith. A number of times it says, you of little faith. And even before this passage in Matthew 17:20, he says to them, they can't do what they've been asked to do. They're struggling. He replied, because you have so little faith. A number of times he says, you guys have got so little faith. And we can relate to that because none of us probably feel like we're super spiritual giants that have all this mega faith. We, most of us would feel that, look, you know, I've got as much faith as I have and I do the best I can. But he says, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, this is great terraforming, this geological shift, move from here to there. Nothing will be impossible for you. Wow. So he's telling them off for having too little faith. And then by telling them they've got too little faith, he then goes on to tell them that the faith that they need to have is the smallest seed, a little mustard seed, a tiny little mustard seed, this tiny little bit. And the Lord is saying, there's not this massive big breach of the power of heaven and earth and that your faith is inadequate because you don't have, you don't need this massive amount of faith. You just need this tiny little small piece of faith. Now he's saying you've got little faith. To have a little, then a little. Praise God. I think the TV just blew up, guys. amen. Praise God. And the little faith, this tiny little bit of faith, we don't need to have this massive big leap of faith. And it's just the same as like when you get two little wires together, you know, for the power it doesn't have to arc over this massive distance. You just put them and the little touch together, bang, the power comes through. And so we can see that it's not this big amount of faith that you need to have, that we have to throw this faith out there. If we want to see heaven come down, we need to understand that it's only a tiny little gap. There's not a massive gap that we have to breach in faith. It's only a tiny little thing. It's a tiny little bit of faith. And every one of us, don't worry about it, guys, fix it later. Every one of us, if we just have that tiny little bit of faith, that's all we need. That's all we need. We just need this tiny little faith. And that little bit of faith, and every one of us has a measure of faith. We had faith to receive Christ, but you have enough faith. I want to tell you now that the faith that you have is enough faith. You have that enough faith. That you don't need this mountain of faith that you have to try to grab. You have enough faith. It's just this little bit of faith The smallest amount of faith is what Jesus was saying. If you've just got this tiny little bit of faith, the point where heaven and earth connect is just this tiny little bit of faith, which we have. But we don't understand that. We think we don't have, you do. We have enough faith for the situation that he has. It says in 1 John 5:13-15, and we know that he hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have asked of him. We know that the Lord hears us. He's the one who hears us. He hears our prayers. He hears us. And if we know that, we know that he's going to hear us. We know that within us is enough faith that we're able to pray these prayers that are strong and will connect together. D.L. Moody, the famous preacher, said, faith takes God without any ifs. Lord, I know who you are. I trust you completely. Because remember, if it depends on us, then we're all in trouble, aren't we? If it depends on us, then we're in trouble. But it depends on our Lord Jesus Christ. It depends upon him. And we have enough faith. We're able to see the presence of God come down. It's a fantastic story from George Mueller. He was a guy from Bristol. He lived in the 19th century. In 1877, he was traveling to Quebec. And he actually was an incredible evangelist. He'd actually set up a home. He had over 10,000 orphans that they cared for, equivalent money that was raised. And he never did any fundraising, ever. He just prayed. Never asked anyone for money. He just prayed. Never told people of needs. He just prayed. And there was something like the equivalent of about $270 million that was raised looking after these 10,000 orphans over this time. A mighty man of faith. There was one time, and this story is told by the captain of a ship who tells this story. Anyway, the ship was travelling to Quebec across the Atlantic Ocean. This is in 1877. And they got caught in really heavy fog. Maybe there was thunder and lightning as well, I don't know. But this big fog came in upon them. And so because it's dangerous, they had to slow right down. They slowed down in this fog, barely moving because they couldn't see anything, just this blanket of fog that came over them. And George Mueller was on this ship, and he said to the sea captain, he said, look, and this is on the Wednesday, he said to him, he said, look, I've got to be in Quebec by Saturday. He said, in 57 years, I have never missed an engagement. So you've got to get me to Quebec. And the captain said, look, if I could get you there, I would, if I had some other transport or some other way of getting you. But he said, look, we're all fogged in. And George Mueller says, look, can we go to the chart room and can we pray? And the captain's thinking, all right, this guy's not a Christian. Some nutcase wants to pray, right? So he follows him in and he goes into the chart room. And George Mueller gets on his knees and the captain's there thinking, okay, I've got some nutcase here. Anyway, he gets down on his knees and George Mueller prays. And he prays a simple prayer. He says, Lord, he says, you know that I need to get to Quebec. And Lord, if it's your will that I get there on time, Lord, then let it be. And then he said, Lord, and I believe it is your will. I believe, Lord, it is your will that I will get, you will get me there. And Father, if it is your will, then you will lift this fog in 5 minutes. This fog will be totally gone. And the captain's there just thinking, this guy is totally crazy. Anyway, George Mueller finishes praying. The captain gets up. He opens the door of the cabin, looks out. Not one hint of fog. All the fog just lifted off. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of knowing that the faith that we have, just a little bit of faith, will bring something amazing and change the circumstances of our life. I want to tell you something from Matthew chapter 16. Jesus promised this. He promises to us that he gives us the keys of heaven, keys of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 16:19. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he repeats that later on in Matthew 18. He says it again, Matthew 18:18. He says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so here we have, we're given authority here connecting heaven and earth and of loosing and binding. What do we mean by those words? When it says whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven. What does he mean by binding? When we bind something, that we have the authority to bind something on earth. When we pray, we have the authority to do that, to actually bind something. What does it mean to bind it? It means to put it under, literally means to put it under the obligation of the law. It means to prohibit or forbid it. And so what if there's a situation where the devil's trying to come and he's trying to mess with a situation or circumstance, we have authority to bring that under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can prohibit that and say, no, you don't have the authority here, devil. You cannot do that. You are limited. You are bound. You are under the limitations of the law of God. You cannot do what you're doing. You cannot touch me. You cannot harm me. Devil, you don't have sway in this situation. We have the ability to put it under obligation of the law to bind that. And the same word is that when we're binding is in Romans 7:2 is the same word, dio, which is, it says, for example, by a law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as she's alive. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law that binds her to them. And so that there is a legal requirement together, husband and wife, once they're together. But once the partner dies, then no longer are we under that obligation. And so there's a freedom from that. What was the law of one law that was trying to come into place? Okay, that law is done. There's another law. Whatever the law that the devil tries to bring, whatever he tries to subjugate our life to, whatever circumstances, whatever things he tries to bring against us, we have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to bring that under the obligation of law. Things happening here on this earth, things that are happening. And when we loose something, it says whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we can bind things here on earth, and we can also loose things on earth. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. These are things on earth. This is heaven connecting you with earth. Whatever we bind, so whatever the law that is trying to happen, we can bring that under the obligation of law, cancel whatever the devil is trying to do. In the same sense is loosing. If we loose something, when he says, whatever you loose here on earth, and basically what we're doing is we're depriving it of authority. It literally means that leo means to deprive of authority. It says to declare something unlawful, that it's unjust, that there's no due restriction, that it's not allowed to happen. And so similar word with the prohibiting, but that's actually putting it under God's law. And the other one is saying, no, we're actually depriving of authority. We're taking the authority that you might try to have, taking whatever authority that the devil is trying to bring into the situation to against us, to oppose us, to come against us. We can deprive him of that authority. He says, I've given you, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you put under God's law, under God's jurisdiction, whatever you put under his headship, on his rulership, will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, whatever you have put, you've said, no, that I cancel that. I cancel the decree of the enemy. I cancel what the devil is trying to do there. I'm going to take away that authority. It doesn't have authority. It's unlawful. You cannot do that. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What incredible power and authority that we have in the name of Jesus Christ when we pray. How awesome is that when we pray? That the things of heaven will come down and touch the things of earth. As it is in heaven, it will be on earth. And how do we connect to that? How do we do that? That's through prayer. And yet, really, prayer? When it comes to prayer, how many really are praying? How many are praying knowing and understanding the authority? I've given you the keys of the kingdom of God. What an amazing thing, we have the keys. And yet prayer is, for so many people, is from a position of weakness and helplessness. Now, the first prayer we ever prayed was a prayer that really had incredible effect, was when we prayed to receive Jesus Christ. And that was a helpless prayer. That was a hopeless prayer. We knew that of sin in our life, we knew without Christ that we were nothing, that we were gone, that we had no hope and no life, no future. We knew what our eternal destiny would be like. But if we gave our life to Christ and let him deal with the sin, to wash it away by his blood, receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, and come into our life and give us a new beginning, a new start, and the promise of eternal life, that was a helpless prayer. And it was a prayer of coming from way down here, realizing that God is so far up there, and receiving him as Christ. But we now have a power and authority to pray. Not every prayer is a helpless prayer, as a weak and hopeless prayer. We've actually been given the keys of the kingdom, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. As it is in heaven, it will be down on earth. What an amazing thing prayer is. How awesome are your prayers? How awesome is it when we pray, when we gather here on a Friday night, when we gather here to pray, how awesome, how powerful that is. When we pray before the service, how awesome, how powerful it is. When you pray in your grow groups, how awesome, how powerful it is. The next Tuesday night, how awesome, how powerful that is and will be. When you pray yourself, when you shut the door and you spend time praying, how awesome, how powerful that is. And it's not this far up here and I'm way down here and I know the reality of God, and but I know the reality of my circumstances, and the two seem to never know. We're able to pray the prayer in faith. Don't think, well, I don't have enough. You have enough faith. You have enough faith. You just need a little mustard seed of faith. You have enough faith. What we need to do is just change the way that we think. And our whole approach to prayer, we understand that we are praying and seeing heaven invading earth when we pray. How awesome that is. How powerful are your prayers? How powerful. And I pray that we would grab a hold of this and begin to understand that in the circumstances, that we can begin to take control. Now, I want to tell you about taking control, because there's times where I've had things happen in our family and to us, and different circumstances of life, and just feeling, oh, I can't do anything here. Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't change this. I can't do anything, Lord. What am I going to do, Lord? Because I just feel helpless in this situation. And then I felt the Lord impressing on me, just, you need to take control. And I'm thinking, take control, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I can't do anything here. I can't change anything. And just sense of the Lord impressing about you need to just to take control. And a wrestling. Because some of you going through some of the circumstances, if I was to say to you, you just need to take control of the situation, then, oh, you tried, buddy. You just tried doing that. But taking control of the situation. And the Lord really showed me, how do I take control of a situation I have no control of? How can I change something that I cannot change? How can I deal with something that I cannot deal with? How do I take control of the situation? And some of us here, you need to take control of the situation that you're in. You need to actually take control of it rather than down here, crushed by everything, trying to get your head out and just get some breath and, you know, this waves and I'm drowning 1 minute, but I come up from. No, we need to learn how to take control in the situation. How do you take control in the situation? Well, the first part of taking control in the situation is, I'll just get a drink. The first thing to take control is you need to totally surrender it to the Lord. It sounds crazy, but to take control is to come to that place and saying, Lord, I acknowledge, Lord, that I can't do anything here. Because some of us, and depending on your own personality, like, I'll keep trying. I'll find another way. I'll keep doing that. If this doesn't work, I'll try something else. If it doesn't work, and I'll just keep going. I'll keep trying. And so if some of us are wired like that, it's actually harder for us to take control in the way that God wants us to take control. We try to take control in our own strength, our own personality, our own ways of thinking and doing. The first thing we need to do is we come to that point of total surrender and say, Lord, I just surrender this to you, to acknowledge, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this, Lord. I've tried everything I can think of to come to that point of saying, Lord, I can't do it anymore. I can't do this. Lord, I'm totally depending on you. And to acknowledge that before the Lord, to get down on our knees, to humble ourselves before our Father and say, Lord, I'm just crying out to you. I can't do this. I can't do this. Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you in this situation, Lord. And we surrender it to him and say, Lord, I just give this to you, this situation to you. And Lord, I just acknowledge, Lord, that I cannot do this, Lord, that Lord, I'm dependent upon you. Lord, without you, I can't do this. And some of us do that, but that's only half the story. But what some people do is that they pray their prayer, Lord, I give this to you, I surrender it to you. And they take a couple of steps and then they, whoa, they got it back again. Oh, and then they walk around with it. They don't truly surrender. We've really got to come to that point where you truly surrender it to the Lord. Now, some people think, when I've surrendered it to the Lord, I prayed about it now, and now I'm going to forget about it. But we know the reality is, if this is a big deal, that surrendering it to the Lord doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to forget about it now. Because I'm talking about the deep stuff of life here. You know, you've got big pressing issues. You need things that would need resolution. You know, we give it to the Lord and yes, there's a peace, but you're not going to forget about it. Because if you've forgotten about it, then it probably wasn't a really pressing situation. But we give it to the Lord and surrender. And then there's the next step. A lot of people can even do that. And so, well, I've prayed now and I've prayed and off I go. But there's something that we also now need to do. Because we need to take control. We acknowledge that we can't take control. We acknowledge that we surrender everything to the Lord, our total dependence and reliance upon him. But then this is when we need to step up to the plate now. This is when we need to step up. This is where now we need to begin to pray with power and authority in the situation. We need to understand the authority that we have, that whatever is loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. We begin to understand that the heaven will come down in the situation. And it's not that I don't have enough faith and I've got to chuck all this faith. It's just the tiny little bit of faith. So close, so close. And I begin to pray in a position of power and authority, not the desperate plea of an unbeliever who doesn't know God. But that the son or daughter who knows who they are, that knows the authority that they have in Christ and begins to understand these things. We grab a hold of that and we're able to pray and we begin to see change begin to come. We need to begin to see situations change. And I praise God, I've seen that. I've seen things turn around. And the Lord had to teach me that. We all have to learn. It's better to learn if someone else teaches you than learn it yourself. But however you learn it, learn it. Learn how to deal with that, to see as it is in heaven, let your will be done. And a lot of people put up with a whole lot of stuff we don't need to put up with. Well, we just put up with it. We just put up with it. Don't put up with it. If you don't need to put up with it, we don't need to put up with stuff. Some people put up with so many things they don't need to put up with. So I tried giving it to the Lord and they didn't do the other part. They didn't then pray with such authority and such with power. And some people don't pray now because they've tried giving something to the Lord and then just didn't seem to happen. Nothing seemed to change, but there's that second element of our prayer. We know the Lord knows our hearts before we even pray. But Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, guys, this is how you are to pray. He says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He taught them that. A declaration of authority and power and then to stand in such a position. And yes, there's other areas, there's adoration and there's intercession, praying for other people, there's spiritual warfare, that there's petitions, giving us our daily bread, all these other things, but that prayer of authority, we need to grab a hold of that and that'll change the circumstances of your life. It doesn't happen necessarily immediately. God will do things in his own good time. But don't forget to pray. You know, he taught in the persistent widow, the widow, just keep praying that we may not give up. And keep praying. Don't think, oh, well, it didn't work, maybe because I didn't have it. No. Don't be hoodwinked by the devil telling you, oh, you don't have enough faith. That's why. Because that immediately disempowers you. Because you think, oh, well, I know God's good and I know I'm down here. Problem is, I don't have enough faith and so doesn't matter what I do. No, that's a lie of the devil. You have enough faith. You just need that little bit and you've got it. You've got the faith that you need. And so we can pray and see God in a powerful, see heaven come into our situation. And I testify many different times where I've seen God do that. Some of the things I can't share, they're too deep to share, but God is an awesome God. Amen? Amen. He is an awesome God. And don't be hoodwinked into thinking that you cannot bridge that gap. Heaven can come down into your circumstances. You need that job, he can give you that job. You have that relationship that needs to restore, he can restore that. What is impossible with men, nothing is impossible with God. Amen? And some of you have listened to what men have said. Oh, look, that's too late now. That's too bad. That's it. Well, we're not going to listen to that. What is possible with God? What is impossible with men is impossible with God. Amen. And the most significant prayer, and I'm just going to close with this, is that prayer where we give our life to Christ. Because really that ultimately is the bridging of the gap between heaven and earth when we ask Jesus into our heart and into our life. And some people, when they think about that, they think, yeah, well, God's a pretty awesome guy. He created heaven and earth and he's holy and he's righteous. And we look down at our own life, and this is before we know the Lord, and we know that we don't measure up to God's perfection, to his holiness. We know that. And when people aren't stupid. They know that they don't measure up to God's standard of holiness and perfection. Anyone who's honest with himself will acknowledge that. If they're a real person, they know that, Creator of heaven and earth, there's a God, and I'm so far away. Problem is that for people who don't know Christ, they feel like they're so far away that, again, there's this awesome gulf and this gap that they have to breach. But Paul writes Paul talking in the book of Acts. For one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. But it says, though he is not far from any one of us. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ here today. The Lord is not miles up there somewhere looking down on you with disdain. The Lord is actually this close to you. His heart is for you. He loves you. He demonstrated that on the cross, how much he loves us. And all we have to do is to say that prayer. And there's only a tiny little gap. He says he's not far from each of us, not miles away that I have to try to reach to this God I can never get to. He's there. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, I pray that you will allow the Lord to come and touch your life this day. And that without making all the excuses that maybe you've made in the past, and say, yeah, I need the Lord in my life and I want Jesus in my life. I want what he did on the cross to count for me. I want to know that I have a new beginning, a new start. I want to know I have promise of eternal life and that God's plan for my life, I can walk in that. Let's stand and pray together. I want to pray for us as a people. And thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are an awesome God, Lord. Even just the shout of the thunder, the flash of the lightning, Lord, we see how awesome and how powerful you are, Lord, the one who wields those things, Lord. That, Lord, you're far above that, Lord. They're nothing compared to how awesome you are, even the powerful elements of nature. But Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've called every one of us to be your children. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we have the ability, Lord, to see heaven come down to earth in our circumstances. Father, help us to have the mindset to understand, Lord, that we can make the declaration, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Father, that we have the given us the keys, Lord, that whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, Lord, that we have the ability in prayer, Lord, that gap between heaven and earth, that prayer in faith, Lord, brings incredible change, Lord. And Father, help us to understand that, Lord, how awesome are our prayers, how powerful they are. Lord, that we will truly become a praying people. Lord, don't make excuses. It's cold, it's wet, it's raining, it's late, it's dark, it's whatever. I'm tired, it's busy, whatever it is, Father. But Lord, we understand, Lord, that we have such an awesome power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, that we can see heaven invade earth, Lord, to liberate lives and to change circumstances. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, give them the courage this morning, Lord, to come out of their seat, to come to the front, Lord, and to say, I want Jesus in my life. But Father, I pray that you stir our hearts this day. Father, let there be such a determination. We're going to pray now with such an authority, with such a power in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to not put up with maybe what we put up in the past. And we're going to see change in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you're able to lift fog. Lord, you're able to do anything. Lord, you're able to do mighty things. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.